We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Now this the black sheep sticking it to him. I need a crib like I'm Gatsby.
I need it
in hand, just understand
my pocket's that deep.
With nothing to prove, I ain't got nothing to do. And it can't compete, and I got nothing to lose. You see, they told me I'm the one that's gonna benefit. Never been a threat.
My man, George Carmona, back in the building. We're back in the building, baby. Veterans Minimum coming live from the Sirius XM studios here at the Wynn.
Whoa. Say that one more time.
Sirius XM Studios. So for those wondering, right there, as you can see. For those wondering why we haven't been recording in here, there was some turnover. New people came in, took over the studio, had to wait a little bit, had to iron out a couple things. And we'll be back here recording rather often, definitely once a week. But big love to you.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Big love to you. Big love to Trav, Austin, John Orlando, everyone at Sticky Paws for giving us a home in between this little transition that we went through.
It was fun, dude. It was like when you have a sleepover, like as a kid, where you're like, oh, shit, he's coming over to our house this time. You know, like, make sure you clean up. That's the way it felt.
Yeah, I feel special.
Yeah.
So, let's go. Nah, but it was cool, man. The hospitality was great. People like that vibe too. Like, it does fit more of the show vibe. Like, we should be recording there more.
I mean, I've never recorded.
Isaiah, if you could throw just a sky cam up real quick, just because, I mean, everyone knows, but like, that's more where we should be recording.
I'm down whenever you're ready to, dude. I've never sat in those seats and done a show. Yeah? I'm a Hall of Fame row type guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
we can see the pink pants too.
Well, and look,
look at the
shoes
I got on.
That I,
my Christmas gift
that I got you.
Let's go. That's love.
Man. I was about to say, I was like, those look familiar.
Yeah. Shout out to George, man.
Look, you left them over at the sleepover.
Yeah.
At the Sticky Paws sleepover, you left them.
Shout out to everyone that's been listening. 4 straight months of 75,000 downloads. It's fucking outrageous.
That's like,
dude, listen,
that's nuts.
And I don't really like, I don't want to say I don't care about the numbers, because I do. We all do. We all want the following. We all want the recognition for your work, right? So I'm not going to say I don't care about the followers or the numbers. I will say I do ignore them a lot. Like, I'll post and go. I won't look at how well this episode did until like later on.
Right.
And then Jeremiah hit me up. He was like, dude, your show's killing. I was like, yeah, I feel like we're in a good stride. He's like, nah, yo, your numbers are going crazy. And then I went and looked. I was like, oh shit. Okay.
Pleasant surprise.
Yeah. And it's cool, man, because excuse me. I've always felt like the content is good, man. But I can't control the algorithms. I can't control all that stuff. So I just put the best shit out there. I clearly care about it, doing it after all these years. I'm just like, yeah, let the universe do its thing.
Right.
And it has the last couple months. So shout out to all you guys. Continue to share the content. Continue to tell your friend, your girlfriend, your grandparents, your parents.
Yeah.
Your side piece. never know. People might have one. Everybody, just download, listen, share, subscribe, comment. It's free. Doing some remodeling, creating a new YouTube channel. It's going to be a heavy launch in May, and it's going to be a lot of fun stuff on there. And yeah, man, we're in a good place. Happy to be back in here. And I feel like the studio is mine, bro. That's how I perceive it and view it. I know it's not, and I know it never has been mine, but like just the way I carry myself in it, and like when I show people it and I talk about it,
yeah,
I'm like, yo, this is my shit.
Dave just said, as I was going to the bathroom, he was like, so you and Nick run this place? And I was like, what? I was like, I'm a bystander, all right? But yeah, that it just goes to show that his comment is exactly what you're talking about.
Listen, Dave, shouts to Dave Ross. He was on the pod last week. I don't run the place. However, we could get a visual of what's walking by outside, even though nothing's walking by, but we got the LED wall. We got the glass now, right? Like, people walk by. So whenever,
yeah.
Nice. Since a nice thing walks by.
Since I have one of these,
I will tell them that I do.
Since I got a ring, I get to sit in this chair.
Yeah.
Other single guys, I wouldn't imagine you allow the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I do. I look off the reflector.
Right. So
if I see you off the reflection.
But it's like a funny mirror.
Yeah.
It can look fatter than what it actually is.
Whoa. Yeah.
You know, pretty hot and tempting. That's a PHAT.
Where I was going with this story is I don't run the studio. Someone nice comes by. I do say that I do run the studio. So, hey, man, don't hate the player, hate the game. You know what I'm saying? George, I want to talk to you about NFL win totals in the NFC. I know a couple weeks ago they revealed them rather early, too. I feel like they haven't put out the win totals this early. They usually drop right after the draft.
Yeah.
And then it coincides with the schedule being released. But it seemed like the NFL was just like, oh, yeah, let's give them the win totals. And then that dominated news for 10 days. Like, can you believe that they're at 8.5 win total and all this shit? So I know we kind of touched on the Falcons and the Jets and I think maybe the Chargers, but I want to talk, and we'll run by all the teams in the NFC. We'll go division by division. And then I want to just have an open convo. Like, which one is your favorite bet? Which one surprised you? Which one you're like, damn, bro, they're 9.5 wins? Because usually the number is, if you're a 9.5 win team that they're projecting, you could think playoffs and Super Bowl.
Right.
If you're 6.5, probably not going to happen.
Correct.
By New York Giants, for example.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen. So that's kind of the conversation I want to have as our guest,
yes.
our delightful co-host. By the way, we've been doing this show together now for about a year or two.
I was just about to say our anniversary has got to be coming up here soon.
Probably past.
Nah. I think it was over the summer.
Yeah.
It was over the summer. And then you were like, you know what? I think I want to make this a thing. I want to have you on often. So, yeah. I mean, I'm loving a couple of these NFC win totals early on here. I guess I could start with the Cowboys.
Okay.
At 10.5. I think that one is my favorite win total. And I would be taking that over.
Oh.
Because I think the Cowboys, if they're good for anything, they're good for dialing up an amazing regular season. And I don't think the division has changed up too much. I still think that they're going to get their two wins over the Giants. I think they're going to get two wins over the Commanders. And I know they always play close. But Philly, you know, Philly and Dallas are both in this spot where they're being predicted to do insanely good things. But there's only been minor changes. And both of those coaches are on the hot seat. So I do think there's going to be a sense in the Cowboys organization to, hey, we messed up for the past 2 years in the playoffs, but we're still an 11-12 win team. We are a dominant threat and people should be afraid of us. And I think that just continues on to next year. So I really do like the Cowboys at 10.5 here with a little fire lit underneath their ass.
It's interesting to note that the last 3 years, they've went 12-5 each year.
Wow.
To your point, we like Dallas until January.
Correct.
Which is what this bet is.
Uh-huh.
So I agree with you. September to January 8th, whenever the regular season ends, Dallas is not the issue. It's after that where you got to expect the fuckery, which happens every year.
Correct.
You know why? Because it's happened every year.
Correct.
And last year, I thought was their best chance to avoid that because they actually got to host the game. And it was the first time ever that a wild card team, since they expanded to seven teams in the wild card,
right,
in this new era of wild card football, that the seven seed actually won.
Right.
And they didn't win. The game was over at halftime.
Yeah.
So it was LG's try again next year.
Mm-hmm.
So to your point, what's interesting about Dallas, over 10.5 wins, plus 105 right now. So you get a plus number. Because I do think people think there's going to be regression. I don't think there's going to be regression in the regular season with them.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be fine. I think it's a 10-win team. And if you have those one-score games that went against you last year go your way or vice versa, I think they're around a 11 or 12-win team once again.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned that they lost Dan Quinn. But then he also got kind of...
I think it was a very lucky year for the Cowboys defense. And I think that it's crazy to think that they set the NFL record, or Trayvon Diggs did, in week 12 of the NFL for most pick six in a season.
No, it was
not Trayvon. Deron Bland. Yeah. There we go. So I do think that there was a good deal of luck that went behind a lot of their success. But then, you know, I am going to credit Dak Prescott for... He's been consistent, dude. Ever since he came back from his leg injury, we know that he does have limitations, and I think those limitations start in January. But up until that point, he seems to be able to find CeeDee Lamb rather easy. And based on reports from you that, you know, the Cowboys like to enjoy their offseason, and, you know.
You saw who's holding out for a new contract?
Who?
CeeDee Lamb.
I think he needed it. I think,
listen, bank, if you guys,
he learned how much the bank can credit you. I think it's out.
Yeah. We saw it in HD 4K, CD's habits. We'll leave it at that. So it's, and also, like, there was some reports that maybe Micah Parsons has kind of soured a couple people.
Right.
He's also going to be due up for a monster contract. Like, Josh Allen on the Jaguars. Probably the best pass rusher no one talks about. Like, he just had a career year. I think he had 17.5 sacks last year. But it's Jacksonville. They kind of underachieved. Not kind of. They definitely underachieved last year. And he got a big bag. Parsons is going to get, like, close to $200 million for a defensive player like that.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, no, for Rightfully sure. I still think he's the best. He just can't play a full season. That's right. The issue with him.
But I think once you have caliber of players that are, like, in the top three at their position, that it's well worth it, and you need to just, you know, solidify the team around them. And, you know, you got three of them. I'm putting Dak Prescott up there because to be a 12-win quarterback in the NFL, it's a very difficult task to achieve.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be on repeat mode, and they're going to help him out. I think Tony Pollard's got to, you know, come back a little bit healthier.
He's on Tennessee.
Right? Right? So who are they going to pick up?
They're probably going to draft a guy because I don't think they did anything. Dallas Cowboys running back. By the way,
you got
Micah Parsons.
Dowdle. Yeah. Rico Dowdle. And then you got the Vaughn kid, that the little short guy.
Yeah, they're talking about potentially bringing back Zeke.
I mean, a healthy Zeke.
That's horrible.
It is a bad pick.
About Micah Parsons,
you do need a run game.
It's not, to correct what I said before, he doesn't miss games. He actually plays a lot. He played every game last year. But what happens is he'll get that injury, and then it'll downgrade his play the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what happened last year, and it's happened often to him. So I don't know if injury prone is appropriate, but that's the thing with Micah Parsons. Staying in that division, I mean, I think Giants 6.5 wins, it gotta be under.
Really?
I mean, bro, first of all, it's minus 150 under 6.5 wins.
So this one's, I would put this one more so in the category of, like, this line was wrong. Are you considering this, like, the worst one?
I think,
or,
that
or,
I think they're a 3-win team.
Is this your favorite?
Oh, yeah. Under, yeah. Gotcha. For sure. It's one of the favorites, definitely. Yeah, dude, the team is not good. Like, I've talked about this so many times, but you know how I know the Giants aren't good? Outside of me, like, being... I've always been a pretty honest fan. Like, I don't think my team's going to win the championship every year. I'm pretty honest assessing my teams. Bro, none of my friends make fun of me when they lose. Like, none of my boys hit me up and be like, ah, suck balls, bro. Cowboys all day, you know? It's,
right.
Oh, it's been, my phone's been dry as shit the last...
Business as usual.
Last decade. We're supposed to beat them. Yeah, it's just like, it's not even cool. Like, I get no hit-ups. None of my Jet friends that troll the Giants hit me up. Like, it's a dud, bro. No one cares. The team is not good. They lost Barkley. So now, how do you even sell tickets, bro? Like, what's the big appealing guy that's on the team? It's going to have to be one of these rookie wide receivers. I think they do take a wide receiver. But then what do you do at quarterback? Daniel Jones is going to come back. Tommy DeVito, that was cool. But that fucked up the draft pick because they should have had a top 2 pick.
Right.
Instead, they're picking 5 now. Or 6. I think they're 6. So they're just not a good team. And
yeah,
6.5 wins.
Darren Waller is going to be your poster child.
He's not even sure if he wants to play football anymore.
Really?
Yeah. I got a good Darren Waller story for you.
After this.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Give me another one that jumped out to you. Cause there's definitely a couple in the NFC.
Well, I mean, I know we talked about the Falcons one, but here, let me give you this. The Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
This one, I
feel... 5.5 wins.
Correct.
-150 to the under.
I feel like this one is wrong in the sense that it should be lower. It should be 4.5. And for the sole purpose being that the Carolina Panthers never last year had the lead in the fourth quarter, yet they won 2 games, which means their only 2 wins came off of last second field goals. I don't understand how a team that performed that poorly can be predicted to possibly win 6 games in a division that, you know, they play each other tough, but like, what did Bryce Young do last year that shows us that they're that good? And I haven't been looking at NFL win totals as long as you have. What was the lowest win total that you ever saw going into a season? Cause or is this like the bottom of the barrel?
Nah, I think the lowest was the Texans after Watson got suspended.
Okay.
Because remember, with Watson, I think they won 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a monster year. Like, his numbers were ridiculous. And then that next year, I think they were like 4.
Right.
And they went under.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, with Carolina. You know what's crazy, bro? One of Carolina's wins last year was against Houston. And I think it was, and that was the best game that Bryce Young played. 22 of 31, 235 and a touchdown.
Didn't it finish like 20? It was in the 20s, the final score.
It was 15-13. But it's just, oh, it's just funny because.
Uglier than I thought. Ugh.
It's just so hilarious that was their win. Because I remember Kenny and I put them in Circa. They were like 3-point underdogs at home. And we're like, bro, if there's a game they're going to win, All that's been happening is this guy's been getting dumped on. The other guy's getting praised.
Right.
I think the team's going to play hard for him for this game.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And it came down to the end, too.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's going to be like a sophomore year resurgence. I think Bryce Young, they haven't shown that they are willing to improve the caliber of people around them. They got to get really lucky on the draft. Are they in contention to get Marvin Harrison, or is that going to be the Commanders?
Nah, bro. They don't have their draft pick. Chicago does. So that's another reason why them sucking last year made no sense.
Do you think they're waiting, though, to get a pick late? Like draft day, they move up? They need it.
I don't think they can afford to be moving up. I think they need to acquire as many assets as they can.
Are they in the worst situation that a football team's ever been in NFL history? After that bad of a season, knowing what you have at quarterback, not having your draft pick, you got to go up and get one.
I think if you factor in, they already hate the new owner. And new, like, he's been there a couple of years. Crowd attendance is low because the team is bad. They've traded away every good player they've had the last 5 years. And then all the trades that they didn't make are made, right? So, like, the trade they didn't make for Brian Burns, all those draft picks, what they could have been, for a one-year rental. And then what you gave up for Bryce Young and what those picks are turning into. And don't forget, you gave up DJ Moore also.
Right.
It's hard to not pick them as one of the worst situations to be in.
Everything just went downhill after Cam Newton did the, I'm back.
Oh, yeah.
I'm back. And then it was just a steady downhill after
that. It was a cool soundbite, but you're like, yo, bro, you're playing the Cardinals. I remember that. I'm pretty sure it was the I'm back Cam Newton was against
the Cardinals. The
Cardinals, yeah. Let's see.
Cardinals, one of the Cowboys' losses last year. Just goes to show. Cowboys.
Oh, no, it was Washington. Oh, no, it was the Cardinals. Red logo Cardinals. Yeah, I'm back. Look, I got it right here.
That's funny. I'm
back. Yeah, Carolina Underman. not a fan. The last two teams we picked have been shitty. Let's pick a good team. Can I give you a good team's win total that I like?
Go for it.
And I like it a lot. A lot, a lot.
Okay.
You know, every year the podcast turns into a team podcast, right? Like, you know, my favorite team is the New York Giants, but my favorite team week to week is the team I bet on. And year to year is the team that I go heavy on with the futures, right? We were a Cincinnati Bengals podcast for a little bit. Then we became a Buffalo Bills podcast for a little bit.
Correct.
And then we closed it out with the Kansas City Chiefs. We kind of chased the winners.
We did.
We chased the winners a little bit.
We like the hot ones.
Yeah. I mean, why not? This pod might become a Green Bay Packers podcast.
Whoa. This one was, it's too high for my taste.
9.5 wins, -135 to the over. So it means people are playing the over. And also to remember, win totals are normally professional better bets because if you make a win total bet, it's a future. So you're eliminating that money from your bankroll for 4 to 5 months.
Correct.
If you're doing them from now, which you shouldn't, like I like to wait, especially in the win total market, you're really not going to have things fluctuate too much. Like the only way it goes from 9.5 to 7.5 is if Jordan Love gets hurt, knock on wood, in the offseason or something like that something that tragic. Besides that, like the win totals are not going to move that much. And for 9.5 with the Packers, the win totals market, I don't do win total bets. I don't. Because it's you have to put down a lot to win a lot. But professionals like it because it's an A or B option.
Right.
There's no division. You got four teams that could win it. Sometimes it's really three, but you never know. And shit, man, the NFL, no league has more turnaround. Like the Texans last year had the number two pick. They win the division. You see it happen time and time again. Teams miss the playoffs. The next year, they win the division. Teams come in last. The next year, they win the division.
Yeah.
So
I was just thinking about that on the card ride over, and I was thinking that only happens to teams that draft a quarterback in the first round. I don't think you can have a monumental change unless that happens.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Like Bijan Robinson's a perfect example. Like Bijan Robinson could have been an MVP candidate last year and the Falcons would have still done what they did. You know, that's a true statement.
No, I feel you on that.
Especially
man.
With Desmond Ridder, point shaven. Wild.
Paul Crew. Crazy. From longest yard, we got them in real life. I like the Packers, man. I think the Packers overachieved last year. I really like Jordan Love. Those are my favorite kind of quarterbacks that sling. Mm-hmm. I don't like the last interception that he threw. I don't like those kind of interceptions, I should say. I don't mind if you throw picks. I really don't. That was dumb. It's first down. You only need three. Kind of forced it. And you were doing so well. Like, that was just dumb. Idiotic. But I don't mind if you throw a lot of picks. And he's a gunslinger, dude. And he was top three in the league in touchdown passes.
Can I hit you with one to super stay away from?
Yeah.
And it's the rival. the Chicago Bears at 8.5. You people, you steer far clear from this bet right here. You take the under because they're just giving it to you right now. But if you think that Caleb Williams could come in and change the city of Chicago, you are sadly mistaken. Let me tell you the biggest difference between what C.J. Stroud was able to do last year with the Texans and what Caleb Williams was able to do at USC in their final year. So C.J. Stroud was a quarterback that was very conservative. He knew how to protect the ball. He wouldn't go out of his way to make wild plays. Very similar to like what you're talking about with the gunslinger in Jordan Love. That right there is an asset in a quarterback that allows you to win a lot of games. Caleb Williams, go back, watch his last tape from this past year. He got into this sort of like mentality where it's like, I won the Heisman the year before. I got to make these plays happen. And I think it's very tough to rewire your brain. So what I'm trying to get to is that Caleb Williams had an entire year where, bro, you are the LeBron James, the Michael Jordan of USC football. Whatever you do is correct. There's no wrong answers. Even when you fuck up, you're still our guy. C.J. Stroud didn't have that leeway, and he had to be by the book, and he was playing an NFL-type style. This is why I think the Chicago Bears, and they could possibly not draft him, but I think they've made it pretty clear that they want him, number one. I think it's going to be a failure. It doesn't matter. The Keenan Allen addition doesn't bother me. Hopefully Tremaine Edmonds can play way better football than he did last year. But yeah, the Chicago Bears, 8.5. Stay away from this one on the over. Take the under.
I don't know if I agree. I think you mentioned it before, how when there's a new quarterback, you see these jumps that you can't account for. Like one of my least, not least, but the handicap that I think I struggle with the most, and I feel like a lot of people would agree with this, is when you have a rookie quarterback coming in, because you don't know if he's going to turn into Andrew Luck or if he's going to turn into Brandon Whedon.
Right.
You just don't know if that impact is going to be immediate, like a C.J. Stroud. Is it going to be C.J. Stroud or is it going to be Bryce Young? To keep it even more relevant times. We just saw it literally happen last year. So it's harder. That's why sometimes the range of outcomes are so volatile for teams like this. Because Bears could go out there and win 5 games. They could win 10 games. And I feel like that might be their range, dude. Because Caleb, he's being surrounded with talent, bro. You got Keenan Allen. You got DJ Moore. They're probably going to take another receiver because they have 2 first-round picks. They have Cole Kmet. They got DeAndre Swift. Defensively, they made some cool additions. DJ Edwards, Edmonds. They were there the year before too. Montez Sweat in the trade, right? Like Kevin Byard in the offseason. Like they have some pieces there. I don't like their head coach. I feel like they should have
fired him, dude.
Could have just started fresh.
Matt Eberflus is dead from the ass up.
Yeah. It's just a weird hiring there. Keeping him. But I don't know. I disagree.
He's
a little bit.
Like Dennis Allen.
I probably wouldn't bet it either way, but I could see them going over. Because you got to think there's regression in that division. And it could be the Packers, too.
Regression from only the Vikings.
Vikings, yeah.
The Packers are looking tougher than ever. And then you got
your Lions.
Don't get me going about the Lions.
The Lions, yeah.
It's a great number. Take the over.
Yeah. The Lions, by the way, are 10.5. Plus 105.
They didn't put them in the elites, but that's fine. That's what Dan Campbell wants.
Yeah. But they're in that tier.
They are. They're in the tier, but we do know that there's a 1A, 1B. They're 1B right now.
Yeah. We mentioned a couple weeks ago, Atlanta. Feel even better about it when I look at 9.5 wins. They're minus 140 to the over. Feel really good about that one. Can I give you one more before we wrap that kind of surprised me?
Yeah.
Dude, I think 11.5 for San Francisco is a little high.
Thank you.
I think it's a little high.
I
They're definitely still going to be there, right? Like,
yeah,
I think they have one more year of maybe even two. Actually, they have two more years because Brock isn't going to be due for an extension until after next season.
Wow.
So they have two more years where Brock is going to make less than a punter or around a punter money. So they could afford to have
pieces
on their team. But I think they're an 11-6 team.
I'm not saying that they're not going to be successful. I think that that division got a little tougher.
Would you say that the conference got tougher? I feel like the conference as a whole got better.
Yeah. I mean, as much as we love seeing the Goliaths go at it last year in the AFC, I think there was still a piece that we knew that the most talented teams were in the NFC. Like the Cowboys scream talent. The Eagles scream talent. And then you had the team like the 49ers that, you know, a dude off, they won the dude off of last year, which is just being able to name as many dudes as humanly possible. So to me, I think it's I don't think Shanahan's it. I think there's a lot of coaches that without us necessarily feeling it, they're more so on the hot seat than we think. And I had mentioned it earlier with Sirianni and Mike McCarthy, but add Shanahan to that list. And it could be, I don't think it's a midseason type dilemma, but for a lot of these teams, you know, I think this could be it for them. And as talented as those teams are, you know, that I think at some point in time, there's the standard's going to come down on them. Does CMC go off like he did last year? He carried the entire team. Like, that's a thing. Like, the mileage talk with him, it's like, how much more can we make him do? If he was a car, how many miles does he have on him right now?
He's
130?
Not quite getting the check engine light popping up.
Ooh.
But I think maybe halfway through the year, he might suck. Remember, last year, he stayed healthy. Shout out to us. We set the bet him at MVP 150-1. He closed out as one of the favorites. I'll take that call any day of the week.
Yes.
Shout out to me picking him for Offensive Player of the Year, which, by the way,
back-to-back years.
Picked the last two.
Back-to-back.
Right? Like, also, by the way, 16-20-1. I'm not giving you plus 200s. We're giving you some pluses, right? These are basically parlays.
Right.
And I'll tell you right now, the 2024 Offensive Player of the Year, 35-1 odds. I've already bet this. Saquon Barkley.
Oh, wow.
You want to know who's having the McCaffrey year last year? This year?
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley.
He's 35 right now?
35-1.
That number will never be higher, ladies and gentlemen.
And let me give you my handicap, right? I'm going to give you the real X's and O's handicap, and then I'm going to give you the Nick Deus factor of this.
Okay.
Which one you want first?
Nick Deus factor.
All right. He's going to go bananas because he's playing on the Eagles. It's the team I hate the most. And to spite the Giants and to spite me, he's going to have 2,000 yards. And he should be the number one pick in fantasy. He's going to have the Christian McCaffrey year.
Right.
It's just poetic, bro.
Right. Poetic.
Now,
yeah,
the same thing we said about McCaffrey applies to him. He has to stay healthy. I think he will stay healthy because he's also fired up. X's and O's standpoint, bro, this is the best team he's ever been on. Like, offensive line is top five in the league. It was bottom five. He was running behind with the Giants. He has Jalen Hurts. RPO action. You got Dallas Goedert, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith. This guy's never going to see a seven-man box. He's going to be able to, you know, he's going to go crazy, bro.
I mean,
35-1.
Yeah. I mean, but he also is just extremely injury prone. Like,
sure. That's probably why he's 35-1.
That's why I think he should be more than 35-1. I mean, like, what has he legitimately proved to us in the past 2 years that makes us feel like that number should be that? What was McCaffrey at when you put it in?
20. Oh, for this one?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice. I went straight I went straight to Saquon.
Did they play the coming home video? I mean, I'm not sure if he was born in Philly, but I know he played at Penn State.
Penn State, yeah.
How far away is Penn State from?
I'm not sure.
I was just trying to Google it right now. I put Happy Valley in there because they play Happy Valley.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, he's going to feel a little more respected.
I think the situation is just perfect. And it's very similar to what McCaffrey did. He was on a Panthers team where he was the main focus. Teams knew, we take this guy out, it's a wrap. They won't do nothing. And then he goes into that system and it's perfect. I think this is a perfect system for Saquon Barkley. We do need to wrap.
Yes.
Give me, what were you just
about? I was going to say, most surprising, Bucs, 7.5. The one in the division last year, Baker Mayfield signed a contract. He's happy. People are underestimating him. I think him and Kirk Cousins, same quarterback, and Kirk Cousins just got the bag.
Yeah.
That's the only difference.
Well, Baker got the bag too.
Yeah. I mean, now he did. So, you know, that's why I feel like they're identical. And that's that.
Before we wrap up, just going to do a rapid fire and list all the win totals for the NFC teams. The highest in the league for the NFC, 11.5 wins, is the 49ers. 10.5 wins, we have the Falcons, Cowboys, Lions, Packers, Eagles. No 9.5 win teams in the NFC. 8.5, we have the Bears, the Rams, and the Bucks. 7.5, we have your Saints, the Seahawks, and the Commanders. 6.5, we have the Vikings, the Giants, Arizona Cardinals. And then we have the Carolina Panthers tied with the New England Patriots for 4.5 wins. Those are your NFC win totals. Let us know what you guys think, what totals you like, what totals you dislike.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah. Before we continue with this episode of Veterans Minimum, we have a new sponsor. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement Systems, or EE Systems. If you haven't heard of EE Systems yet, you'll want to listen up. Whether you are a world-class athlete or an absolute stud, washed-up podcaster like myself, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and to proper recover from top-notch performances. Technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, that's a massive word, and rejuvenation. Whether you are here in Las Vegas or hundreds of other locations across the globe, that's the entire world, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/vetmin. That's VETMIN to learn more and find a center near you. It's spelled unifiedhealing.com/vet, VETMIN, vetmin. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare providers with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment. And before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE systems. That's unifiedhealing.com/vetmin to check it out.
All right, George, we just did the NFC win totals. Let's bang out the AFC. Let us know what you guys think about the NFC win totals, which ones you guys like, which ones you guys dislike, which ones you might think George and I are crazy on.
Right.
So let's start off with the AFC. I want to just bring up, I'm going to just read you the odds and the win totals for each AFC team. I kind of did it to close out the
NFC.
So I'm going to do this one for the AFC. And at the top, we're going to go in order from the most wins, right? At the top, 11.5 wins are the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. Then we have at 10.5 wins, the Bills, the Bengals. At 9.5 wins, we have the Dolphins, the Texans, the Jets of New York. 8.5 wins, we have the Chargers, the Browns, the Jaguars, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Indianapolis Colts. 7.5 wins, we have no teams. 6.5 wins, we have the Raiders of Vegas, the Titans of Tennessee. 5.5 wins, we have the Denver Broncos. 4.5 wins, the lowest win total in the AFC, the New England Patriots.
It's a tragedy. 4.5 wins. That's a fall from grace.
This was a team, bro, for 15 years. Legit 15 years. No, probably more than that. From like 01 to 2019, never saw lower than like 11.
It's got to be good. It's got to feel amazing. And now,
dude, to just know.
Now they get to hammer the over and sweat, dude.
Right. Yeah, you're really sweating it out. Where in the past, you're like, bro, we might have this done by Thanksgiving. It's crazy, bro. Like, I remember I shot this video talking about how, like, I have zero sympathy for a 33-year-old kid that grew up in Boston. Because you've seen fucking hockey, baseball. Yep. You've seen fucking NFL, basketball. And even the years you didn't win, you were a fucking 12-win team. Like, you went to 13 AFC title games, bro. You just knew every year you're going to make the playoffs. I don't know when my team's ever going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm sweating. You guys need them
to be. You guys need them to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're your guys's, you know, voodoo doll.
I never hated the Patriots, bro.
No, of course you wouldn't hate them.
We beat them when it mattered.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
Eazy-E, Eli Manning, baby.
Come on. Well, bro. Yeah, I think the next time both of you guys rise up to greatness, you're going to be very thankful that you're playing the Patriots. Because I think it's just that franchise thing, you know, like that. The Giants are the better red and blue team. It's just facts. They're probably going to beat him in the win total this year.
Ooh, that's a nice bet to make with a Patriot fan. I mean, it's pretty it's close, even. Right? 4.5, 4.5 to 6.5. They'll probably both end up like 5-12, and then it's a push on both sides.
That's funny.
But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What's a win total that surprised you?
Win total that surprised me was the Steelers at 8.5. In the sense that, bro, they fixed their problem. They double fix their problem. You know, everybody in the league always talks about how important the quarterback is. And they said, we were so bad at this position last year. Let's get two people that we know are competent and can do it. They kind of give me the feel the same way the Saints were last year, where it's like, you have DC, but you also have Jameis Winston who's done it. Now I do think that they're going to use Russell and Fields in a tandem type situation where I think we will see a two quarterback system. But their defense, dude, like, you can't put past the fact that they are the most consistent over 500 team in NFL history. I think the same thing again this year. That's why that line shocked me after they fixed one of their big issues. I just think that number might be there because of how difficult the division is.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, as we were rattling it all off, it seems like, once again, remember last year, the AFC North had the highest combined win total of any division in 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Which, the way I view sports, that's history. Because mm-hmm. like 40 years ago, it was a lot of different shit as opposed to what it is now, right? So, like, all the teams had a win total of 9.5 or higher. The combination was the most in NFL history. And I think it's kind of going to be the same case this year, right? Like, the one that surprised me, which I get, Bengals at 11.5 is pretty steep. But it's the fact that they're getting Joe Burrow back.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think, bro, like, Joe Burrow, this is a monster year for Joe Burrow. We don't know what's going to happen with T. Higgins. We don't know, is he going to get traded in 2 weeks at the draft? Like, we have no idea what's going to happen, right? Because he got franchise tagged. And, you know, players don't like the franchise tag. It's dope for that 1 year.
Right.
But when you play a position like that, you want the job security. You want the money guaranteed for later on down the road. But their win total is 11.5. They're going to benefit from their schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Because, remember, last year,
they were going through the gauntlet.
Yeah, they played a first-place schedule.
Yeah.
And again, everyone's like, yo, the difference is it's really three games, right? But it's like, yeah, dude, it's the difference between playing Kansas City, Buffalo, and Houston, and then playing
The Cardinals,
Dolphins, and
Titans.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, it matters, dude.
Yeah.
Playing the Broncos as opposed to playing the Chiefs, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, yeah, that could be a three game. That's a six game swing potentially from 0-3 to 3-0. So it does matter. It does matter a lot. And Bengals schedule, obviously, you know about the division home and away, but at home they got Broncos, Raiders, Eagles, Commanders, Patriots. Bro, they might not lose a game at home if it's not in division.
Oh no.
Like that is crazy. And then their road games, kind of tough. Chargers, Chiefs, Cowboys, Giants, Panthers, Titans. This is a pretty favorable schedule, bro.
Yeah.
And the over is plus 125. Kind of like it. I'm leaning towards it.
I mean, do you think it's at that point because of them getting rid of Joe Mixon? And like,
nah.
I know Mixon wasn't a premier.
They're 10.5 wins, by the way. I said
not
11. Half,
but right. Yeah. I just think Joe Burrow needs a steady back to be effective in this league. Because I know Ja'Marr Chase is able to get open and get his. It just opens up the offense a lot more when you have a stable running back. Joe Mixon was very stable for all four of the past years. And that's why they had so much success when they made the Super Bowl run. I get the case that you're making for the over. Okay, but I can play devil's advocate and say that, is Joe Burrow really healthy? I mean, are we going to have a third year of 3 weeks before the season, Joe Burrow fucking sneezes the wrong way and he had like a burst appendix and then we don't get him for the first month?
Bro, you're absolutely
right. These past 2 years have made me seem like there's something that's going to happen. He's not going to stay in a glass bubble. Like, I don't know.
I mean, bro, we were talking about it on a previous episode about how, like, one of the biggest storylines is him. Like, yo, can you stay healthy?
Right.
We kind of need you to stay healthy. And look, they have the 18th pick in the draft. There's a lot of wide receiver depth, right? They do need to address, like, some other holes on their offense. But, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they take a wide receiver there. I don't think they take a running back. But if they take a wide receiver, it kind of means that T. Higgins probably is going to be expendable.
Right.
That's something to monitor on draft day. But that one definitely jumped out to me a lot with the Bengals. I'll tell you right now, under on the Ravens, this is the fifth straight season with a win total in double digits. They've gone under in three of the last four seasons. Last year they went over. Obviously they were the top seed in the AFC. But they checked the box for a lot of regression, a lot of turnover on both sides of the ball. The division.
The wounds of goddamn, we are the best year in and year out, and we can't get it done when it matters the most. Lamar Jackson starting to get the, you know, he's a regular season superstar.
Yeah. Nah, for sure, man. That's going to be really important, too. And I just think that the division is going to be better now with Watson coming back for a full year. Yeah, Burrow, the unknown of Pittsburgh. But you know that they're going to be a piece of shit to you like they were last year, and they beat you last year, too. Like, they're just a team that I'm with you. I think what they're going to do with the two quarterbacks is going to be really interesting. And you got to just trust until proven otherwise that they're going to win 9 games.
Yeah.
So I think Baltimore is a massive, massive regression candidate. I'm leaning towards the under. It doesn't mean that they can't make the playoffs, but say, I'd be lying to you if I'm not looking at, like, to miss the playoff bets under on the win total.
I mean, why not? Because I don't think there's ever been a time where an entire division made the playoffs, right? Has there ever been that? But I mean, it's like aligning. Maybe that's a fun prop to put in.
Well,
does every team for the AFC North make the playoffs?
So I did a parlay last year for the AFC North, and you could.
There were put ways, all of them in.
Yeah, you like some sports books would offer like division winners, and you could just parlay them. I did to make the playoffs, all four teams. I think I got like 18-1.
Jeez.
Obviously, the Bengals didn't make it, but the others did.
It was close, dude. Came down to like the last 2 weeks.
You got three teams in. A couple years ago, you had three teams in the NFC East.
Yep.
So it's doable with this additional, but, you know, you're looking at three wild card teams from the same division.
Right.
It's crazy. I feel like that'll happen at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but at some
point.
But
we can start sniping the same exact way you did. We got to put in that parlay.
We got to find a division like this one again.
Yeah.
This would have to be the division.
Yeah, there's no other top to bottom solid division
in the NFL. If you could pick a division to have all four teams make the playoffs, let us know in the comments. Tag us. Let us know what division you would pick. I think it's the AFC North once again.
Yeah, it's tough not to. I mean, we hadn't talked about the Browns yet. The Browns had an 8.5 win total. The Browns played, dude, remember the defensive stretch that they had last year?
Oh, yeah.
Where they had allowed the fewest amount of points in the first, like, 10 weeks of a season in NFL history?
Yeah. They were, like, on fire.
The opponents were only getting, like, 130 total yards or whatever. I don't know, it was something crazy. Now they're at 8.5. I mean, when you look at all their pieces and they stay healthy, how are they not a premier team? Does Joe Flacco come back?
Nah,
it's officially over, right?
Yeah.
He did retire?
Nah, I think he's on the Colts.
Really?
Yeah, he signed with the Colts.
Damn, that's a great spot for him. Anthony Richardson backup?
Yeah.
Because then I was thinking that line right there for the Colts at 8.5.
But is it? Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me push back. I hate it when teams sign Colts, for example. Mm. I hate that pairing because Anthony Richardson and Joe Flacco are complete opposite quarterbacks.
Dude, Joe Flacco and the entire NFL quarterback room is two separate. Now. He's a different decade. He's off.
Yeah. Great point. But also, it's like, when the Eagles had Mariota as a backup, it's like, oh, it makes sense because he plays like Jalen Hurts,
right?
A little similar. But if you have a running dynamic quarterback like a Richardson, and then you got a statue like Flacco, that shit makes no sense. It's what happened in Baltimore that ruined it. Like they had Flacco, and then the offense was built for Flacco, and then they threw in Lamar, and it's like run the Joe Flacco offense. He's looking around saying, yo, I can't run this shit. This shit is whack. You want facts. Me to be in the pocket, just a statue, and that's not my style.
Yep.
So I just, you know, random rant, but I just hate when that shit happens.
Yeah, but I mean, after seeing what he did last year, you can't help but think that he still might have that in him.
Yeah.
And the Colts were competent last year. And that's what, okay, that entire AFC South, I think you can make out pretty well in this division, especially as preseason happens and we... Because I wouldn't necessarily want to make any of these bets now. I would need to see how the team is forming together in the offseason. But there's a lot of numbers here that I love. Like the Texans at 9.5, sure, they were on fire last year. I can bet now and mentally that the league's figured out CJ Stroud a little bit. You know, he's going to eventually see the dark side. Nico Collins got injured at the end of last year. Does he come back and is he the same player? Are they a 9.5 win team? I don't think so. I think you could take the under and what could be a very competitive division. And then the Jaguars, you were high on them last year.
I would say with the Texans, mm-hmm. if you want to be contrarian, you would take them under. Because nobody's taking unders on
the Texans. What they're doing.
Yeah, no, that's they're going to be saying. The most heavily wagered over AFC team. Overs, divisions, conference, Super Bowl. Like, already you're seeing it. Like, the markets are moving in the futures market for the Texans. And it doesn't mean that they're a bad team. It's just that I would rather not have tickets for those teams than have tickets for those teams.
Right.
And then also something really interesting that I've talked about in the past. Kind of could tell you who's going to win the Super Bowl based on the last 11 seasons of Super Bowl odds history. 10 of the last 11 Super Bowl winners, George, have been top five favorites in the preseason.
Wow.
The only exception were the LA Rams a couple years ago, and they were sixth. Right? So if you want to expand it to six, 11 of the last 11 Super Bowl winners have had top six Super Bowl odds. The reason why I'm bringing this up is four of the top six are AFC teams. Guess them.
Ravens.
That's one.
Chiefs.
That's two.
Bills.
That's three.
Dolphins.
We were just talking about them, bro.
Texans.
Bengals.
Bengals.
Yeah. And then the other two teams are the Niners and your Detroit Lions. So that's your six. The Super Bowl winner is probably going to be San Francisco, Kansas City, Baltimore, Detroit, Buffalo, or the Bengals based on the last 11 years in the NFL.
Based on stats, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty damning. There are, like you said, who is the sixth place? You said the Lions, right? Lions were the sixth place team?
No, Lions were actually tied with the Bengals. They're both 14-1. Yeah.
Who's in sixth?
The Eagles.
All right. Well, there you go.
And then you got the
Eagles are looking great this year. I know we covered them just a little bit ago, but
yeah, I like Philly.
Man, like dangerous Philly team. I'm thinking that AFC South though is a good place to get a lot of value on some overs. Like, you know, these teams are in that like need to prove it stage. The Titans, new coach. You lost your biggest star, but people are bought into Will Levis, dude. And I think, you know, they can piece something together there in that division. I just think it's going to be very competitive. Colts at 8.5.
Well, you skipped over my absolute favorite win total in the AFC, and I can't believe I feel this way about them. But I have to feel this way about them because they fucked over a lot of people last year. And this year, Aaron Rodgers going out on having a media tour, and boy, is he getting people angry. If you thought the COVID stance was crazy,
he's wild.
Look what he's saying on some of these outlets. But with that said, 9.5 wins for the Jets. I fucking love it.
Yeah.
I think they're an 11-win team. I think plus 250 for them to win the AFC East might be a bet I would make today.
Mm.
I like to wait. You know, I want to kind of see Rodgers at training camp. See, he's back.
You know? How Mike Williams looks in green.
Yeah, he's recovering from an ACL. What do they do in the draft? But, bro, it's the simple fact that nobody is on them this year because they got PTSD from last year. Happens all the time in sports betting. And I think the schedule is favorable. My biggest concern, I don't like the coach.
Really? Too soft?
I know we live in like alpha male culture and shit.
Oh, he looks like one of those
guys.
He
looks, no. He strikes me as a beta.
Really?
I think he's an amazing.
You don't watch? Did you watch Hard Knocks?
I did, yeah. But he just like, I don't think he has a good control of the team. He's a hell of a coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the biggest point I'm getting to, where I think some guys are just better suited being coordinators. And I think he's an amazing coordinator. He was with the Niners. He was great. Very, very good. I don't think he's a head coach. And I just look at, like, I don't know if you do this, but I definitely do this in the playoffs. It's one of my most successful takes and betting trends. I'll take the better quarterback in the matchup. And if it's a tie, I look at the coach.
Right.
Could you imagine him coaching against Harbaugh or against Andy Reid?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Scott McDermott, I'll even put him at.
Yeah.
I think Scott McDermott's a better coach.
Yeah. So that's what.
Zach Taylor, the newest Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Mark my words.
Yeah. So, but I like him, man. 9.5 for the Jets. I'm with Gang Green.
You got to take that. How do you feel about the Chargers? We've kind of avoided that division entirely, just knowing that the Chiefs are going to do. I honestly like the Chiefs under, because they're a team that constantly has proven to us that they don't need to be number one seed to win a Super Bowl.
So here's the thing, right? And I want to show love to Jared Smith. He's been on the show a bunch, friend of the podcast, and you know, we were talking about it on the preview show, if you remember. They were like -150 to win the division. And, you know, I was big on the Packers. I was big on like the Steelers winning the division, +800, +700. He's like, bro, don't get cute here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take what we
know. He did say that.
Let's take the -150. Let's take the -225 right now. Unless Mahomes goes down. It's gonna be that,
right?
And to tie it into the Chargers question, I don't know, man. I don't know. They're cleaning house. I want to see what they do in the draft. I would love if they got Marvin Harrison. I don't think it happens, but like,
no,
that's what I would like to see. But look, Harbaugh, everywhere he goes, immediately has a great impact, and the teams win. Whether it was college with the Niners, when he went to Michigan, like everywhere, Stanford.
Some guys are just winners, dude.
Everywhere, yeah. He turns programs around right away. So I just think it's Kansas City. I don't have much to say about anyone else in the division. I've also been scarred by the Chargers all these years, which could be
right.
Which could be the Jets' take. Like, I was the guy betting the Chargers all these years. Maybe this is the year to do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
We need some more information.
No, that's how I feel. Seeing an 8.5 number, I would love to take the over on that, just based on the division alone. And I'll say it for you, because I know you've said it, what did they say, ad nauseum?
Yeah.
It's Justin Herbert's year, dude.
Gotta be.
J Herb's year, dude.
Gotta be. Sunshine, get it together.
Spread it out.
Let's see.
Let him do his thing.
Let's see. I'm good, man. I don't have anything else to bring up.
No, I'm excited that the draft's approaching, and we're going to get our next set of like content to talk about when it comes to NFL related stuff. NCAA 25 slated to come out too. It's a big year.
Big year.
Big year for football.
Hell yeah. Every year.
Every year is a big year. Well, this year is bigger than most. You got to think about the impact that that game will have on football as a whole and the way it's viewed. Just the same way, it's like the Taylor Swift effect. Except with younger kids. They're not going to be playing Fortnite.
We'll see.
They're going to be playing NCAA 25.
We'll see.
Arkansas to win the title.
Let's go. This is a Razorbacks.
This is a Razorback pod.
Let's do it.
Woo Pig Suey.
Let's do it.
Yes,
Let us know your favorite win total in the comments below. Thank you all for listening to another episode of Veterans Minimum. At Nick Day is 10, as you can find me, all things Veterans Minimum, or at Veterans Minimum, George.
At Mr. George Carmona on Instagram. Follow me. Send me a DM. That's it.
We'll catch you guys next time.
In his element. I'm a gold medalist. Bronze like your medalist. So many deer in headlights, but it's bedtime. Hear that supper bell. Main course, beat a venison.
Dab. Most dangerous game. Either kill or be killed.